Such a good day in God's presence. Aren't you glad that you're here? Aren't you glad that you're watching online? Thanks again for letting us pause and pray for whomever was reaching out. And we've, again, the person that was helping connect in have been able to connect in. So I just wanted to report that to you. Thankful that we have online ministry, right? Where people are at. They're in another country, actually. They're not even in this country. But thankful that prayer and love and God's grace can reach people, right, no matter where they're at. So thanking the Lord. And for those of you that even needed that today, God sees you and he knows where you're at and what you're going through. And so just let that be a reminder. Amen. So we're finishing our series today on Live Ready, being the church that's ready for Christ's return. And man, I don't know if you sense it or feel it in your spirit, but we have an obligation to be ready ourselves, right? Personally, we have that ownership, but then as a church, we collectively need to be ready. Amen. We need to be getting our heart ready, getting our family ready, our neighbors ready, and looking for when Christ comes back. And so today we're going to talk about living ready, but we're going to talk about being transformed. We're going to be looking at Romans chapter 12. So if you have your scripture, any kind of format, go ahead and turn to Romans 12 today. We're going to be looking at quite a few of the scriptures from that passage today. But I believe that the Lord wants to speak to some of you today, encourage you, challenge you, call you up to some new places. And just thankful. Amen. Thankful for the Lord's presence. So let's pray this morning as we open the word and as we share together in what God would like to speak to us today. So Lord, we just pause and we breathe in your presence in this moment. God, thank you for already being here. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. Thank you for your love. And Lord, we also thank you for your written word that is inspired, that's living and active. And Father, we just pray right now that you'll open our hearts, open our ears. Father, that you will illuminate truth to us today, what we need to hear so that we can have our faith activated, so that we can respond to your word and change and transform whatever you need in our hearts and in our lives. So Father, we just say, show us. Reveal our hearts today. Reveal our motives and our attitudes. God, we don't want to be the same. We don't want to just come and encounter your presence and leave the same, God. We want to leave different. And so, Lord, we surrender today to you. And we thank you, Lord, for your written word. We thank you for your presence here in this place. In your precious name, amen. Whew. So, we're going to talk about the chapter 12 in Romans, and Paul wrote this as a letter, as an epistle, they talk about, which is a letter to the church in Rome. And, you know, you have to think about back in those days, right? They didn't have the ability to get places quickly. And so he wanted to come visit the church, but couldn't get there at the time. He was in his like third missionary journey. And so, but he wanted to get word to the church. And so what they would do is they would send letters. They would write on parchment. They would write down their thoughts and they would send it via different ways. And it would take a while to get there, right? We have now, I was texting with somebody with our online, boom, immediate. We had immediate connection. Back in this day, they didn't have that. It took a while for the messages to get there. And so we're reading from Paul speaking a letter to the church in Rome. And in chapter 12, it is for us today, though, too, to be reminded how we need to be living, how we need to be operating, to be transformed in our life. Amen? I don't know about you, but I think we all could raise our hand and say there's something in our life that needs to be changed, something that is not godly, something that, you know, whether it's sin, whether it's an addiction, whether it's anxiety, the things we talked about, we all deal with the things of this world, right, that are still attached, and we need God's power to transform us. We need his word to transform us. Amen? So we're going to talk about that today. So in our world today, there are a lot of things, a lot of examples of things that transform. I'll give you a couple. An electrical transformer transforms electricity from one circuit to another, all right? A converter bench transforms a bench into a table. All right. An aquamobile transforms a car into a boat. All right. And then, of course, we all know this one. The famous Transformers, right? The movies, the robots, they're alien robots that transform into different creatures and different vehicles. You guys are all familiar with Transformers, right? Anybody? Am I the only 80s kid? Or yeah. Anybody have Transformers when they were younger? Okay. Okay. So let me ask you this. Did anybody have the sort of like a Transformer, but it was a Voltron? Do you even know what that is? Anybody in this place? Who said yes? Okay. A couple Voltron people. Okay. Well, Chuck, I asked if I could share this story. Chuck loved Voltron when he was younger, and he really wanted it for Christmas, and it was the big character, and it comes together with like five different lions, right? And that you put it all together, and it transforms into this like defender of the universe kind of a character. Not Transformers, but similar, okay? And so he said that one Christmas, he was so excited because he started opening and realized that his parents had got him one similar, but it wasn't the exact one, and it didn't necessarily have all the parts. So although he was like excited, he went to be very disappointed because it wasn't exactly what he wanted. And then a couple Christmases ago, he earns points from being a nurse and different things, and so we can turn him in for gift cards or whatever. And so we were in this conversation, and I said, "Hun, I know you really want like this Voltron thing. Why don't you, with the Amazon gift cards, why don't you look and see if there's a Lego version? Because he really enjoys Lego. And then you can have like your full-on Voltron that can like restore the hurt from the past and how that was disappointing." And so I talked him into it. And so just wanted to report he's got his full Voltron all intact. Yes. And it took him a while because there's different pieces, right, that come together to make this character. So anyways, so thanks for letting me share that, hun. But so he's all good now, you know, and it's in our basement. He's got like a big sword. But I say that to say this, we're called to be transformed, right, to not stay in the same place. When we come to know Christ, doesn't it say that we're the same? Once we come to know Christ, we're just the same old? Is that what it says in Scripture? No, it says we are made new, right, in Christ. The old has gone and the new has come. That means we turn into like a transformer. No longer the old person, but the new person in Christ. That's pretty cool. Do you think that's pretty cool? Yeah. So transformation, let's look at the definition. It means this: to make a thorough or dramatic change in form, appearance, or the character of. That is the definition of transformation. Amen. Some of us need that in our character, in our appearance, in our form. We need transformation. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul is calling us all to be transformed. So let's look at chapter 12. We're going to look at four different ways today, briefly, on how we can be transformed. So let's start off Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2, and I'm going to look at them in two different translations. So the first translation is the NIV, and it says this, Romans 12, 1. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." Then it says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed," there's our word, "by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, and perfect will." All right, so there's a lot to unpack there. Let's read it in the NLT, which is another one of my favorite versions. NLT says this, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, I beg you, to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." Amen? "Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect." Oh, so good, All right. So Paul is saying to us, right, we've got to present our bodies, present our life as a living sacrifice. That means when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your life is no longer your own. I think we forget that. I think we forget, I accept Jesus in my heart. Now I can go do my own thing. I'm going to heaven. No. That's why it's such a big deal. Count the cost. When you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you no longer live. But Christ lives in you. It is no longer your own life. You give all of that up. You give that over to Jesus. And now you take on his life, his plans, his purposes, his calling. It is no longer about you. I think too often we make it about us. Amen. And we are called to be transformed and not make it about ourselves. It goes on to say, you know, by doing this, presenting ourselves to the Lord, this is how we worship God. If you want to know truly how to worship Jesus, you lay your life down every single day. That's how you do it. That's difficult. We deal with the flesh because we're still in the world, which is a sinful world. And so that's why we have to daily come to Jesus and die to ourselves so that we can live for him. Amen. Verse 2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. That means we have a choice. What's going on around us, we can either go with it or we can live like Jesus, right? The Jesus way, which is completely different to what culture looks like right now. And we have to ask ourselves, who do we look like? Do we look more like the world or do we look like Jesus? Because if we look like Jesus, we're not going to look like the world. And that means the world is not going to accept us because they didn't accept Jesus, right? There's a cost to serving Jesus. There's a cost to loving Jesus, but it is worth it. Amen? Not only for what we get in eternity, but here on earth. We don't walk alone. We have hope. We have joy in the midst of circumstances that are difficult. Thank you, Jesus, right? Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The moment that we're born, the world and all of its sins starts crouching in, right? And all kinds of things begin to happen to us as we grow up, and our mind gets messed up, gets marred by sin. So we have to actively take captive those thoughts. We have to allow the scripture, which is living and active, to transform our thoughts. Most of the battle that happens in your life and in my life happens in our heads, because that's where the enemy can have control over our thoughts. So you have to take control of them. Then the Bible says, take every captive, every thought captive. Bring it into obedience to Christ. Bring it in alignment with the word. If it's not there, then cast it out. Tell the devil he can go back where he came from. Right? We've got to take action in that. We've got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Then you want to know God's will. You're going to take some time. You got to work. You got to be transformed in order to know his will. Otherwise, you're going to miss it. Right? So these are the steps God gives us. I love it how incredible he is. He gives us such practical things in how to live. So let's talk about this. The first thing that we must do, we got to be transformed by being renewed. Amen? We got to be renewed, church. I got to be renewed in my heart, my mind, my soul, my spirit. Because we live in a world that is crouching in. So we got to renew our minds. Renewing means to resume after an interruption. Here are some synonyms: to come back to, begin again, restart, return. We got to renew our heart, renew our mind, renew our emotions. You might have met Jesus when you were 5 years old, but let me tell you got to keep renewing your heart and your mind over and over and over again. Right? In verse 1, it says, therefore, right, in chapter 1, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy. There's a reason why that therefore is there. We got to pay attention to what it is there for, all right? It's there to refer back to all that Paul had described in the first literal 11 chapters of Romans. You need to go back and read the whole entire book of Romans. It's incredible. Teaches us about God's mercy and his grace in our lives and how we are to live. Then it goes on to, in verse 1, it says, in view of God's mercy. Paul describes in the first 11 chapters is God's wonderful, his deep, his rich, and amazing mercy, his love, his grace. He pours it out to who this God is. We need to know that. We need to understand that. God is full of mercy. Amen? And while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the message. Since God is merciful and has shown his mercy, Paul urges us to do something. He says, I urge you, or I plead with you, to offer your life, offer your body as a sacrifice to the Lord, holy and pleasing to God. This is our spiritual act of worship, to give our lives for the gospel. Amen. Because Jesus sacrificed for us, we can be rescued from sin. We need to be rescued. We can be made new. We're adopted as children of God. We're adopted into the heavenly family. You know, we're doing this outreach for Easter. Thank you again to everybody that came out on Wednesday and has donated, given financially. We prayed for these 70 bags that represent 70 foster kids in our area around our church. 70. That's not even all of them. That's just a snippet of what's out there. Kids that don't have their moms and dads with them, but have men and women who have stepped up and to be in the gap to care for them. Thank you, Jesus, that we're going to be able to bring some sort of love into their life. But God has reached out to us, and he's adopted us into his family. How amazing, right? Oh, thank you, Jesus. We can be part of your family. We're called to live according to his word. That's our spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. Have the patterns of this world gotten into your life? Have they gotten into your thinking? Have they gotten into how you live? We gotta check our lives, you guys. We've got to look at what's going on in our homes. We've got to edit what we're listening to and what we're watching. I've had to edit a lot of things. The news, for me, I hardly even check in. Every so often I check in a little bit. It's just so crazy. There's so much negative, and we don't even know what the truth is, honestly. And so, you know, there's things in your life, maybe you're listening to, whether it's music or movies or whatever. If you're wondering why there's a lot of chaos in your life, look at what you're taking in. Look at what you're listening to, what you're watching. If you're struggling with different things, you know, what you put in is what's coming out. And so, right, we need to offer ourselves to the Lord as a living sacrifice. Holy. Get that? Holy and pleasing. That means some of that stuff just needs to be fallen off because it's not pleasing to the Lord. It's not holy. It's negative. It's death. It's demonic. It's evil, right? We got to let that stuff come off in the name of Jesus, right? So we got to be renewed. We got to be transformed by being renewed. Christianity is certainly an emotional relationship, all right? I love Jesus. I'm filled with joy. I feel blessed, right? There's feelings connected to it. However, Christianity is also a mental relationship. We must not only just feel, right, but we've got to know. We've got to know that we know what the truth is and be able to back that up and know what we believe. We must know and believe that Jesus is King. We must know and believe that he died for our sin. We must know and believe that we are alive in Jesus. We must know that nothing can separate us from the love of God. We must know and believe that we are sons and daughters of God. It's important, again, it's not just feelings, but we've got to know that we know. And how do we know? We know because we study scripture. We know because we read God's word. We know because this is the truth. If you want to know the truth about whatever it is, read it in your scripture and you'll know the truth. Amen. We must not only know these truths, but we must remember these truths and therefore renew our minds. Amen. When the world seeks to deceive you, which it will, renew your mind. When you forget all that God has done for you in the gospel, renew your mind. When sin seems more appealing to you than Jesus, renew your mind. It's not a condemnation. It's a love that's saying, it's a conviction that's saying, you know what? You're heading in the wrong direction. Renew your mind. Renew your heart. Get back on track. Restart again, right? His grace is there, but not to take advantage of it. What happens when we renew our mind? I'm glad you asked. Thank you, over there. Just kidding. The Bible says we will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I don't know about you, but I want to fulfill the will of God for my life. Amen. I want to be able to stand before the Lord and He say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Yes. In order to know God's will, right, we've got to be transformed. So you may ask, how can I renew my mind? Here's a couple quick tips. These are not ones that are new. All right, these are just reminders. Number one, want to renew your mind? Simple. Read the Bible. Pick it up. Look it up online. Right? Read scripture. Psalm 119, 11 says this. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Can I give you guys a really simple challenge? There are 52 weeks in the year. And if you just memorized literally one scripture a week, that's it. Read that scripture, just one, every day, all week long. Memorize one scripture in a week. You will have memorized 52 scriptures for the year. Can you imagine the amount of transformation that would go on in your life, in your heart, in your relationships, your ability to battle the devil and the enemy? Because you had 52 scriptures on hand that you can be like, boom, no, here's the truth, right? How simple. Man, maybe a few of us would take that challenge on. Hide the word of God in your heart so that you will not sin against God. Amen. I know we know this, but we've got to act upon it. Faith without works is dead, right? So if you want to renew your mind, get into the word of God. We're doing a Bible app. You can join us. You can jump in right now. We're reading it together. We're walking through it. It's a great thing to do. Great thing to do with other people. Hey, we're doing the discipleship stuff too. Sign up. Get involved in a group so that you can be growing in your relationship with Jesus in the Word. All right? That was a little plug. All right? Thank you for those that are already have been signing up. Go to our rocksidechurch.com and sign up for Follow Discipleship today. Every single person in this room should be in a group of some sort. I'm telling you, we've got to keep growing in relationship with Jesus. Number two, how can I renew my mind? Again, obvious, we have to pray, right? We've got to talk to the one who holds it all together, who's created it all. Luke 11:4 says this, and forgive us our sins and forgive those who sin against us and don't let us yield to temptation. We've got to pray to the Lord. Forgiveness is a huge part of our lives. A lot of the sickness and a lot of the things that are unhealed in our lives are because we have not asked for forgiveness from the Lord or from other people. Pray and ask the Lord to forgive you. Pray and ask the Lord to help you forgive other people. Pray and ask the Lord to help you not be led into temptation. And then don't go places or do things that dangle it in front of you. Be smart, be wise, right? So we got to read our Bible. We got to pray. Number three, how do I renew my mind? Focus on godly thoughts. Like I was saying, fill your mind with good things instead of things that are negative and dark and scary and evil. Bring things that are full of light and joy and Jesus and positive, right? Philippians 4:8 says this. It's simple. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true. This is like a filter. And honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. That's the filter and what we should be. If it's not any of those things, get it out of your heart and life. You don't have room or time for it. This is the filter for what we should be focusing our life on. Surrounding ourselves with godly thoughts and things that are going in us, music, the TV we're watching, right? The stuff we're on YouTube searching, positive, life-giving, true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, right? We're filling ourselves with those things. Amen. That's how we renew our mind. And the last thing is this, four, hang out with godly people. Now, we're called to be light, right? So we're going to interact with people who don't know Jesus and who aren't godly. It's not saying, everybody go to your prayer closet and don't come out. That's not what that's saying. But it's saying for those of you that are in the close circles, the people that are uptight in your life, they need to be godly. They need to be praying. They need to be pushing you towards Jesus, helping you know him and hear him, right? That's your circle, right? Hanging out with godly people. Proverbs 27:17 says this, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. You want to be around people that are pushing you to be more like Christ, not pulling you down. Amen. Amen. So we got to be transformed by being renewed. We have to be transformed by being loving as well. Let's look at the time. We are running out of time, folks. All right, let's look at verses 9 in Romans 12. We're going to look at verses 9 through 21. So we got to be renewed, but we also have to be loving. All right. Verse 9 says this, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Verse 14 says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. That can be hard. Don't be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. In verse 20, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. And do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Paul is giving us specifics. Man, go back through and reread all of that. He is giving us specifics on how to live a holy and pleasing life, how to be a person of love, how to live without being a hypocrite. Amen? If you want another great scripture on love, 1 Corinthians 13 is the chapter on love. Read it. Walk it through your life. Ask yourself, how am I being? I'm being a loving person. Am I being renewed by being loving? Ask yourself that question. Check it out. Because again, they will know we are his disciples by our love, our love for each other. Guys, we're heading into an election season. They're going to know us by our opinions, right? No. They're going to know us by whatever side of the aisle we're on. No, they're not. They're going to know us by our love for Jesus. Amen. And we're going to pray. We're going to ask the Lord for wisdom. We're going to love each other as a church, right? Amen. We're going to let our preferences go aside. We're not going to fight with one another about whatever you believe or this video or that video, or you're wrong, I'm right. We're going to go into this prayed up, linking arms, right? Because we know Jesus is coming back for a church, Amen. For a church, Amen. Right? And we want to be ready for him. Amen. We need to prepare ourselves ahead of time, church. So be praying. Be praying for your own attitude. Be praying that you are renewed, that I am renewed in our hearts and our minds and in our love. Because it's going to be challenging. Yeah. And the enemy's going to try to get in just like he did a few years ago. He's going to try to get in and try to divide the church, divide relationships. And we're just not going to let it happen, okay? We're going to contend for unity, and we're going to be loving, right? We're going to love each other through it. Amen? Amen? Okay, so we also have to be transformed by being humble. Amen. There was like one amen. That's hilarious. Oh, humility. It's tough. It's tough to walk humble when pride is so evident in our lives. I struggle. I can be stubborn. I can be dogmatic. I believe what I want to believe, and I can get real firm on it. But we've got to be transformed by being humble. Christ walked this earth. He fulfilled his purpose and walked in humility. He laid down his life. We must do the same. Amen. There's a quote from one of my favorite authors, Dr. Carolyn Tennant, and she says this in her book, "You can always go lower." Right? When you're dealing with a situation, when you're in prayer and you're in conflict or whatever, you can always go lower. Jesus shows us that example. Verse 16 in Romans makes it really clear. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Don't be conceited. Man, may we be transformed by being humble, right? If you want to be more like Jesus, surround yourself with people who are more like Jesus, who live humility, not a false humility, who live humble, knowing that they are nothing, but in Christ, right, we have everything we need because of Christ. I can stand up here only because of Jesus Christ for you today. That's the only reason, right? My humility is understanding I am nothing and he is everything. But we've got to walk in that, church. Paul says in verse 13, share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Are you practicing hospitality? Are you opening up your home and your life and your relationships? Are you bringing more people into your life? Verse 16, live in harmony with none another. Verse 17, don't repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful not to do what is good in the eyes of everybody. Paul is really concerned with us understanding that the person who is transformed by Jesus is a person of humility. I want to be that person. Do you want to walk in humility? Sinners are selfish. Sinners seek to prove themselves right. Sinners try to get their way. Sinners are concerned primarily with themselves. And listen, we've all been there, right? We're all sinners saved by grace. But not so with the followers of Jesus. They are transformed, right? They are different. They're new. They're selfless. They're humble. They're loving. They're living out, having a renewed mind. They seek the good of others. Those are the Christ followers. Let's be transformed like that. Amen. And the last and final thing is this. Be transformed by being peaceful. The New Testament has a lot to say about the followers of Jesus who were people of peace. Listen to what Paul says, and again, referring back to chapter 12. Verse 12 says, we are to be patient in affliction. Verse 14, we are to bless those who persecute us. Bless and do not curse. Verse 18 again, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Verse 19, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. We want to be in this chaotic season, chaotic culture. We want to be people of peace. And the only reason we can bring that is because of Jesus, because he is the Prince of Peace. Amen? And he's living inside of us. And we can bring that to the world that we're in, who desperately need it. They need that. So let's be transformed by being people of peace. Amen? So here's what we can conclude from today. And worship team, if you guys will come up. We are to be people of peace. We are to let God deal with those who do wrong. We are to love our enemies so much that they are ashamed when they treat us poorly. Of course, this type of behavior does not come naturally, right? We need God's help. We are transformed by being renewed. We are transformed by being loving. We are transformed by being humble. And we are transformed by being peaceful. So, church, are you ready to live ready? Are you ready to be transformed, right? By the power of God in your life so that you can go out into the world and be his witness, have what you need to be able to share with the world the hope of Jesus? So I want to do this. Let's stand to our feet, and I want to give you guys a challenge today for this week. We'll see who can do it, who wants to do it. So here's my challenge. I want you to read back through chapter 12 in Romans, all right? And I want you to pick one verse out of the whole chapter to live out this week, to try it on. Say, Lord, help me this week to live out and whatever the scripture is. Help me to live that out. There's a lot to choose from, so you'll be blessed at whichever one you choose. But pick one of the transformative acts, because there's a lot of them in here, that if we would just start living out what the scripture says by the power of God, we would see change in our relationships, in our own selves, and in the world. We've got to be transformed, and it only comes through Jesus, all right? We can't will it. We can't think it on our own, make it happen on our own. We need the power of Christ in us. Today's St. Patrick's Day, right? Christ before us, he understood that, right? He was a slave and went back to the very place that treated him terrible to win people for Christ. A great example of a life that was transformed, and then he acted upon it. Amen. He understood that. So if your life has already been transformed today, great. Then just continue to live that way. But if you're in need of a transformation today, Jesus is here. I want to read Revelation 3:20, this one verse, and let's close our eyes across this place as we just get ready to respond to the Lord this morning. Ephesians 3:20 says this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." Let me say it again one more time. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." It's the door of our heart. "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." I have to believe there are some of us around this room today that you need a transformation. Somewhere, somehow. Maybe it's your attitude, maybe it's your heart. Maybe it is in humility, maybe it is in your love, maybe it is in your mind, but you absolutely know right now, you're like, "I know I need a transformation today." And I just want to pray with you this morning, if that's you here in this place. And so if that's you and you're recognizing that you need to be transformed, just raise your hand so I can pray with you this morning. All right, I see those hands all over the place, absolutely. Thank you for your honesty. Amen. You can put your hands down. Thank you, Jesus. We'll pray for you in a minute. I also want to give an opportunity. If you're here today and you've never been transformed by Jesus, you've not asked him into your life, you've never said yes to his invitation, he's been knocking on the door of your heart, and you haven't opened it up. You've left it closed for whatever reason. But today you are ready to open up that door of your heart and allow Jesus in to be your Lord and Savior. So I just want to give an opportunity, whether you're online or you're here in this place. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, now is your opportunity. And so if that's you here today, I also want to be able to pray with you as well. So if you're here, just slip your hand up. If there's anyone here in this place today, I want to be able to pray for you. I want to just make sure that nobody's missing the opportunity, the invitation from Jesus as he's knocking on that door. Amen. Awesome. Well, let me pray for those of you that raised your hand. Jesus, thank you, God, that you see us. God, you know our hearts. We want to know you more. We want to love you more. And so, Lord, I pray for those that raised their hands that they recognize their need for transformation today. God, you know the details. You know what's going on. And so I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just come into their life and you would just help them. God, give them strength. Give them what they need to do to leave from here today. Father, I pray if they are needing healing of their mind, their body, their soul, God, I pray right now that you would just minister to them. Father, I pray if they just need the practical steps of renewing their mind by reading their Bible and praying and thinking on good things and being around godly people, God, help them to practically make those steps. God, if it's somebody here today that's just dealing with pride and ego and they just need to walk in humility, Lord, I pray that you will help them to be able to live out each day, dying to themselves, picking up their cross, living for you. God, wherever the need for transformation is, I pray right now, Jesus, that you would meet each person where they are. And God, I thank you that when you come into our lives, it's not about condemning us and making us feel terrible, but God, it's conviction. You're wanting us to grow. You're wanting us to be more like you. And so God, thank you for that your love transforms us. So God, I pray for all of us today. Anoint us afresh so that we can go and be your example to a world that just desperately needs your hope. God, we thank you for today. Thank you for meeting us here today. Help us as we leave from this place, as we go out into our mission fields, may we be transformed to be more like you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.